The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I'm your host, Misty Young, with my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. It's so nice to be here with you. Of course, we are broadcasting from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. This is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet, truly and really. This is where the mountains and the old growth redwoods meet the sea. Harbor and Brookings is home to me. Now, before we get started today talking about health and nutrition and all the things we love to talk about, I do want to say thank you so much to the entire KCIW sound engineering crew. These folks behind the scenes and the production crew and the folks on the board of directors and the volunteers out in the community, they really are the folks that help make KCIW 100.7 on your FM radio dial the little station that could, that did, and that is. So thank you for joining us here. We appreciate it. We are going to talk about health. You know that I am not a doctor. I'm a nutrition geek. You know that I hold a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy and a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Now, that may be true for me, but for Sherry Carey Baum, she does hold a science degree. She is a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, also holds a Master of Science in Nursing. She also holds a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. And today, I'm so excited because we're going to talk about how you do this at home, right? How
Absolutely.
You do it.
Absolutely. And it's, for me, it's so exciting because something in our history of America has really pulled us together. And I don't know if you've heard about Victory Gardens.
Yes, I have heard about them.
From World War I, World War II, and people were growing their own food.
Right.
The government said, could you please start growing your own food? It
right.
was called a Victory Garden.
Yes.
And people jumped in, really started producing their own food. And I just think that that shows the core of what we do. How we're trying to make a difference. And we know that when you're growing your own food, you're getting more nutritious food.
Yes.
Because you're picking it right out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right
you're
from
pulling
the ground.
It out of the ground and eating it.
From the ground.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk about gardening. So
I
maybe
love
everybody
it.
Can do a victory garden during this scary time.
It is a little different time right now.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Coronavirus is
it's a
backing
thing.
Us all up.
Yeah.
Isolation is backing us all up.
It is. Yeah. Went to the grocery store this morning. And I was kind of surprised there were more people in masks this week than I have seen ever so far during this process. And I made an effort to smile at everyone. I was not wearing a mask. I said, I'm just not going to do that. I wash my hands a lot, but I don't wear a mask.
We're in a community that really
it's
is isolated on itself.
Yeah.
We know we've been in this situation for five, almost 6 weeks now.
Right.
So
yes.
there's no new exposure in our lives.
Right.
So we know who's been sick and who hasn't.
Right.
So we're a little safer and luckier than the larger communities.
That's right. Yeah. I don't mean to say that, you know, like I'm not wearing a mask. I don't mean it in any way like I'm flouting it or flaunting
right.
it. It doesn't seem as necessary here. There's been four, I think, confirmed cases in our whole entire county. Should we be safe? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Should we be sanitary? Absolutely. Should we wash our hands and do all those things? Yeah.
And not travel and not have guests that we don't know where they've been or where they've come from.
Yes.
So we are being very cautious.
And that extends to our food supply, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah.
It really does. And to be able to actually start taking control of something in your food supply, as you said, I think it's genius. And
I
it's
think so.
So easy. Tell them about your garden.
It's super exciting. it is so exciting. You know, it's probably been, really, it was about 5 weeks ago that you and I were having a conversation and you were telling me about a program you were getting ready to be involved with the Oregon State University, the Extension Service.
And the food bank.
And the food bank. And you were talking about the program and it just dawned on me that I've always wanted to have a garden.
Yeah.
So I did it. I literally just went and we rented a rototiller, which in retrospect, I wish I wouldn't have rototilled. I wish I could have figured out how to just take the grass off the top, flip it over upside down, and prepare from there. But I didn't know. Yeah. So we rototilled and we've planted, let me tell you all the things that are in the garden. There's lettuce, parsley, artichokes, tomatoes, potatoes, carrots, cauliflower, broccoli, zucchini, and spaghetti squash, and and spinach.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So you it's guys pretty exciting. Jumped in with both feet.
Yeah. I thought, you know, and the really cool thing is it's all coming up. It's growing
it's
rapidly.
Growing. Absolutely. And people that have never gardened before, it seems overwhelming. It seems like, how could I possibly grow my own food?
Yeah.
And it's really quite easy. I mean, people don't realize that depending on where you live, there's just different options.
Right. And it depends, right? So on where you live, it's your zone and
it's
how much sunshine you get.
And you have to kind of go through steps. So the first step is, how much property do I have?
Right.
Am I in an apartment with a balcony?
Right.
Do I not even have a balcony? I just have a window.
Right.
Right? Those work too.
Yes.
Those work too. So look around where you think you can conceivably grow. And the one thing about a lot of plants, especially the vegetables, a lot of them need anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sunshine.
On a daily basis, right?
Right. And where I live, that's a problem.
Right.
So
you have a lot of trees on your property.
We have a lot of shade,
yeah.
And it's chillier because we're on a hill. And,
right.
And so we get more of a breeze and more wind.
Yeah.
So what I did for my property is I kind of hiked around and we actually took pictures to try to remember where the sunshine was,
yes,
for how long,
right,
and then calculate it. And so my front yard has 2 raised beds. You
nice,
know, I took
yeah.
out the lawn and
yes.
put in 2 raised beds. And then also the other area was on the side of the house that has hedges and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of gave up the pretty flowers and the pretty plants, things
yes.
like that
yeah.
for food. Basically.
Nice, right.
And the one on the side where it was really pretty before we made it not so pretty. I actually am doing containers.
So containers being what someone in a city or in a place without a lot
right.
of property could do a garden in a container.
Absolutely.
They could put lettuce, they could put peppers, they could
yep.
do.
We actually did potatoes in our one area. It's in a steel,
like a
galvanized
wash
steel
tub kind
tub.
Of thing. Yeah.
yeah. So I did 2 of those for potatoes. And then I did a smaller one for onions and garlic.
Nice.
So it's containable, right?
Yes.
And then in the front yard, we have more of the cooler ones because I don't have as much sun in the front yard. So the collard greens, spinach, kale, a lot of the things, lettuce, things that really don't need quite as much sun and don't want that hot heat.
Right.
So touring your yard is your first step.
Your first step. Kind of look at your property,
yep.
figure out what you have, or look at your balcony, look at your window
Absolutely.
Space, right? Figure out where you, because really when it comes down to it, what you're doing is you're harnessing the power of the earth and the sun.
Absolutely.
Right? So you
yeah.
just figure out where's the balance of earth and sun that is available to you, even if it's not planting directly in the ground.
Exactly.
So the tour is first.
Well, and knowing your hardiness zone, the USDA, on the internet all over, just
okay.
look up hardiness zone. You have to know where your food, what food grows well where you live. Because I want you to succeed. I don't want you to be
right.
planting things that like,
aren't
hello,
gonna make it.
It's not happening.
Right.
Here. The funny thing about where we live is we have so many microclimates. You know, I'll come this morning, my house is fogged in.
Yeah.
It's beautiful and sunny here.
Yes.
It's like, what the heck?
Right. It's beautiful and sunny. I'm sweating over
here. I know.
And I'm burning up.
And where I live, it's always 10 degrees colder.
Yeah.
It just always is.
10
no matter
cooler, yeah.
what I do, I've got the cooler weather. Now, if you're up the river, you've got the intense heat.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do better with zucchinis and tomatoes and really understanding
right.
what your plants need. And when you read a seed label, it'll talk to you about it. When you look at the back of a seed label, it's going to tell you, this is how much sun, this is how much heat, this is how long it's going to take for it to grow. So just like a food label, you should be reading the back of the food label for
yes.
seeds. You should be reading the back of the seed label.
Because it's going to tell you what's going to grow well in your
yep.
area and then what it needs.
What it needs.
And it
how
gives you information
deep you need
how
to
deep
plant
and
it.
How far
yep.
apart. When we were
Absolutely.
I hope tomatoes are going to go okay here on our place.
I think
place.
They will. You think so? You get so much sunshine. Even though you have the breeze, you get so much sunshine.
So it was funny, though. We planted all the tomatoes are in containers. And so we had this one big container, really big container, and then this little tiny tomato in the middle. I always love to rat Gary out. Yeah, I love to rat Gary out. So I'm ratting Gary out. I said, he comes over. He's like, we got to put more in there. We need two or three in there. And I'm like, dude, really? Yeah. Come on. This says, if you look at the label, and I showed him the picture and it had little arrows on both sides. It said 36 and then it had arrows on both sides. He goes, oh, I said, yeah, it needs 36 inches of its very own. So knowing that, because I think a lot of people like me, I've never been a gardener. I mean, I used the Seed to Supper book.
Isn't that a great
book? Yeah, it's a great book. I mean, I used it to help me figure out what to do. And guys, you know what? I'm not a gardener. I haven't done this stuff before. I'm learning as I go.
Absolutely.
But in the past, I might have planted a garden and been like, well, you know, I'm going to plant 40 of these things and then may the strongest survive. But that's not really a good strategy, is it?
I don't think so. One, it's not fair to those poor little plants. You know, I like animals. I like plants.
Yeah,
I save bugs. I'm one of those.
I love you.
But it also is kind of depleting the nutrients because you're going to have to thin them out. And then how are you going to feel when you go, oh, yeah, that one's going.
Right.
I hate doing
that. Isn't that weird? Like you get this sort of sentimentality
for
the plant.
Oh, it's fun. They're my babies.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, I was furious. I planted beets seeds in this one container in the sunny spot of my house. I'll be danged if the next morning something didn't get in there and just dig out every single seed.
Dear critters, please don't do that.
I'm going to put nets over everything. Where we live, we have deer. Yeah. I mean, they come through our yard daily, basically, and stare at us like, what have you done for me? What is lunch today?
Oh, what are you serving? What's on the menu?
I betcha it's vegan.
I bet it is. Is that a whole food plant-based garden? Yes.
And usually I do share the apples because we have an apple tree and we can't possibly eat all the apples.
What kind of apples are on your tree? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Are they tart or super sweet?
Tartar.
They're
on the more tart side, but they're delicious.
They're delicious.
They're really delicious. So we share the apples with the deer. Yeah. We figure if they're within your reach,
have at it.
Fool am I?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to chase them out. And usually it's this mom with a bunch of babies.
I saw the mom and babies recently. And the last thing you want to do is say, no, you can't have that.
No, I wouldn't do that. So
what are some of the things that are most prolific? I mean, and I guess that comes really back
to... It's
going to
dip microclimate.
Where you grow.
It's going to...
Where you live.
And really knowing your property. We've been on this property for 2 years now. And this is the first time I've planted where I did. You know, my husband's been saying, you should plant here, you should plant here. And I'm like rolling my eyes going, do you know how that's going to look?
Oh, right. Yeah. Aesthetics.
I'm sorry. It's true. I want that pretty little sign.
Right. The white picket fence. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he finally went over. And now every day I look out there and I'm like, dang, if he wasn't right. There's sunshine all day long.
Yeah.
So what was I doing?
Yes.
We can even, where we are, plant lemon and lime trees, which is crazy.
Yeah,
isn't that? To think of that. This far northwest, we can do lemon and lime, as long as it's protected and it's getting the sun that it needs.
You know, I want to kind of come back for a moment just to fundamentals. Why is it important to grow your own food? I know we touched on it before, but from a medical, physical standpoint in your body, why does that really matter?
Well, if you think about it, it's more nutritious. I mean, honestly, because are you going to get your food, your spinach that's been cut and picked, I don't know where, let's say Florida, across the country.
Right.
It has to travel all that distance.
Yes.
So you're losing some of those nutrients.
Right.
Because
right?
you've cut
fact
them.
Of time.
Not, right. And exposure to light and sun and,
heat and transport and,
You know, hopefully it's chilled. That's why if you can't do gardening and you want fresh vegetables and you just don't have access to them, frozen is nice.
Right.
Right. Because frozen typically, they freeze it as soon as they pick it. They actually have some kind of a gizmo.
A gizmo in the field?
They do.
Washes, cleans, cuts, and freezes.
Freezes. So you're getting all those nutrients.
Right.
But if you're getting food that's been shipped for days, weeks, there's less nutrients involved. So it's better for your body. And what more? I mean, it's like eating sunshine when you go out and you pick your own fruit, or you go out and you do a spinach salad, and that spinach is from your garden. Now, spinach is a tough one because it gets so dirty.
I know. Wash, wash, triple wash, quadruple wash.
Yeah, exactly. Because that dirt just hides in there. But love it. So, and kale and collard greens. I mean, I had collard greens. I brought you over a bunch the other day.
I loved them. Yeah.
I just pulled them out. And collard greens and kale, they were a year-long season for me here.
Wow.
Yeah, they produced for a full year till they bolted or started sending off seeds.
That's what that means when you say bolted. It means they send off seeds. So
and,
when
and then it turns bitter.
And then it
That's
turns bitter.
That's why you have to watch. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so when you're growing your own food, and this isn't just like some, you know, harebrained idea. This is like you're growing your own food.
You're growing your own food.
The nutrients that are in it are more available. Well, there's more nutrients
there's
in it.
There's more nutrients, period.
Period. So there's more nutrients in it. You're in full and total control over what goes on that food as it's growing, right? Like you're not out there with Miracle-Gro. You're not out there with Roundup. You're not out there with any of those things. You're what do you nurture the garden with? Like what do you put on it?
Well, I do fertilize it. I have a compost bin. Okay. So all the scraps from my kitchen go into the compost bin.
Right.
We don't use pesticides or anything on our lawn. And
no
if you
pesticide,
ever,
no herbicide, no fungicide.
No. So if you come see my lawn, you know, you're walking over weeds.
Yeah.
But as long as I keep it small.
Yeah. No, you can't tell. Well, look at my lawn. You can see that lawn out there. There's so many dandelions on that lawn.
And dandelions are good for the environment. And actually, you can eat dandelion leaves. They're one of the most nutritious foods available.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I got to get that through my head.
Now, if you are composting and you're using clippings and things, you don't want any of the pesticides, herbicides,
fungicides. Of course.
So you want to be careful about what you put in it. And you don't put animal products in your compost bin.
Of course,
so you don't put, you can put eggshells, but you don't put chicken and beef and all of that. If I were to do that, which it's not in my house anyway, but if I were to do that, I would have visitors between raccoons and bears digging. I mean, they're already kind of smorgasbording
through your kale and your collard greens.
Well,
and
no, I have netting.
I meant the stuff in the compost.
Yeah, they're eating.
Oh, they're eating.
Everybody's chomping away.
Yeah, that's the buffet, the compost
that
buffet.
So I do compost, and then Dr. Earth has a really nice organic fertilizer that you can put in if you need extra.
Okay, cool. So you take clippings or garden trimmings or whatever.
And kitchen waste.
And kitchen waste that's not being turned into like a broth, a broth that you're going to use. So you take the kitchen waste or whatever. Coffee grounds?
Do you use coffee grounds are good.
Tea bags?
Tea bags, as long as they don't have, I don't like the staple ones.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the staple ones. So then all those things get put into a compost. And then do you crush it? Do you shovel it? Mm-hmm. Do you turn it?
I have a pitchfork.
You have a pitchfork.
I have my very own pitchfork.
There now, in and of itself, is the reason I must also have a pitchfork. I told Gary recently, I'm like, I want a pitchfork.
Not over diamonds.
No, right. No, it's not over diamonds, darling. I need a pitchfork.
I need a pitchfork. Yeah, I have a pitchfork. So you just go in there and you turn it every once in a while. And you remember I said, we're chillier. You know, it's colder
up where I live. There,
So I actually have put on tarp to develop the heat.
To develop the heat.
It's the nutrients.
It helps it break down faster.
Mm-hmm. So it's the microbiomes that Earth has too.
Right.
And it's worms and bugs and all those things. And then the heat helps to decompose everything.
Got it.
And I have two compost bins. And the first one I used for my raised bed. And it's wonderful because unfortunately, you have to know your soil.
Right.
And the soil that I had in my raised beds was the worst. It was clay.
Oh.
So I know, sadly.
It
was clay.
No, me. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people that live in this community know what I'm saying.
Right.
So
do you take the compost out every once in a while when it's ready or
usually once a season?
So it's sort of baking, if you will, in a way. And when it's done at the end of the season, do you spread that out over the, it looks like dirt.
It looks like dirt. I mean, it looks like really rich, nutrient rich dirt.
And you put it in your garden.
I put it and mix it with the dirt that I have, unless I have too much clay. If there's too much clay, then I'm in a little bit more of a problem. I might actually have to buy some dirt and mix it with my compost.
It, right.
Clay is really hard. So that's the other factor you have to look at. What do you have?
What is your soil? So you got to look your where, and then you got to look at your what. What do you have?
What do you have? And then I'm going to jump back to composting. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I also have worms. I have my pet worms.
Oh, they're your pets. Are they like your little children?
They're
your
grandchildren.
These are my grand worms.
These are my grand worms. They were given to me by a good friend, too.
So I love it.
He shared his worms with me. That sounds so creepy.
No, it sounds. It does kind of sound creepy.
It's like he shared his crap. No. I didn't really say that.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, because when I was looking at your garden the other day, you kind of picked up some soil and you pulled it up and there were just worms everywhere.
Worms, yeah.
And you want them,
now,
right?
They're a special kind of worm for composting. They're a red worm and you can get them pretty much. I'll share mine. I mean, these guys multiply, so
they
no multiply. Worries.
They
I'll
make,
share.
They make themselves.
They make friends.
Nice. Okay. Worms with friends or friends with worms. I mean, I've heard of friends with benefits, but friends with worms could be good.
Hey, if you're getting a pitchfork, yeah.
All right. I want a pitchfork. I literally asked for one the other day. I'm like, Gary, I think I need a pitchfork. He's like, I'm not getting a pitchfork. And whatever.
Maybe he's afraid you're going to poke him with it.
He probably is.
Get moving,
get
man.
Moving.
Get
yeah,
moving.
Get moving.
So the worms, they're fun, actually. The only problem I've had is raccoons.
Yeah.
So they again went in and got
dug around.
Food.
Did they go for the worms?
They ate some. I think they did.
Oh. And,
no, but some survived, though. I mean, I'm
some
good.
Survived.
I'm
yeah.
good. I mourned them.
So do the worms, what the purpose of the worms is that they're eating. So if I understand, mm-hmm. worm castings is essentially worm poo.
They're worm poo.
It's worm poo. So the worms, you put them into your compost. They eat up your kitchen scraps, your
yep.
zucchini.
They like coffee. Ends, not too much. You don't want them too buzzed.
You don't want them too buzzed. And then they poo that out. So they sort of transform your kitchen waste into soil.
They do. No, well, castings, which is like a fertilizer.
Got it.
So you could do two things with the castings. What I do is usually blend it into my soil.
Okay.
But you can also, if you're doing containers and you already have food growing in there,
right.
you can mix the castings with water and then fertilize them.
Okay.
See,
cool
you need worms.
Is.
You
I
need worms.
Some.
You
yeah.
need some fun worms.
I do. My friend Philip gave me some and I didn't really, he told me what to do.
Okay.
And he said, you have to mix a whole bunch of dry stuff. And all I had for dry stuff was grass clippings. So I didn't really know
well,
how to
like
do that.
Well, they like shredded paper too.
And it never dawned on me to do shredded paper. And he
just
gave
not
them,
glossy.
Well, he gave them to me at the time of year when it was just about to rain. And he said, and they'll drown. And I was like, what do you mean they're going to drown? And he's like, he goes, yeah. So get like a trash can lid and set it over the top of them and put a rock on it so it doesn't blow away. So I did all of the thing, everything he told me
and
to do,
fed
I did.
Them too. You remember
and
to
I
feed
fed
them.
Yep.
And you got to water them too.
Well, I thought they drown.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit of water.
A little bit of water, because
well, I mean,
you want it kind
of
moist.
Rain here, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And the place where I have them is in that little compost area that's kind of shady,
okay.
So I don't know.
Oh, very, that's a perfect spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I need more worms.
I have worms. Did you kill your worms?
I'm not sure. No. I couldn't find too many of them when I went back through the second time around. But when we did our garden this year, when you suggested that I create a garden, or you didn't even really suggest it. You just started talking about gardening and I just like buried
You're
down.
Like I
just barreled down the path.
2 feet jump in.
Yep, I'm going to get
How
it done.
How fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went out to the compost pile and dug up all that stuff that was over there. And it was
wonderful.
Beautiful, dark
See?
Brown,
You've been
gorgeous
composting
stuff.
The whole time.
A couple years, not knowing whatever was going to happen with
nice.
It. Nice. Yeah. So it was really kind of neat. And now when I go out into the garden and I dig down under there, there are some worms in there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't think I killed my grand worms.
I've been told, and I have to actually research it, but the worms that we use for composting, I don't think they fend well
in the
earth,
garden.
But I don't know. I'll check that fact. That's
well,
what I was told.
How would you separate them out? How would you get them out of there?
No. Too late. Too late.
Oh, maybe. Too late.
They're either happy or they're gone.
Or they're happy or they're gone. Okay. Okay.
I can see you with a little microscope going, I can save this one. I can save that one.
I would totally do that.
I know you would. It's like, no,
totally
too late.
That.
Too late. Don't go there.
Oh, my gosh.
What I have is, and I actually, it's working well. I took a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Well, I have two worm houses.
Okay.
One I actually purchased on Amazon, and it has layers. So you have worms, they drop their castings, and you just keep shifting the layers.
Okay.
Okay, they have trays.
Okay.
That's a good word, trays. The other one, what we did is I went to a lecture that talked about, you know, worms and whatnot and gardening. And what they talked about was getting a bucket. So I have a 5-gallon bucket.
Yep. Like drilled one of those holes plastic in it. Home Depot yep. type buckets.
You know, like paint buckets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drilled holes in it.
Yep.
You know, about the size of my big finger.
Yep.
And not my big toe, my big finger.
Finger, your index finger.
I don't think fingers are called big fingers. But anyway.
Your index finger.
There we go. That's the one. So it has holes all through it. I put in some dirt and I put in some paper. Okay. Shredded paper.
Shredded paper. Like and newspaper.
Yeah. You just tear it up.
Yeah.
Scratch it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I put in the worms and then I top it with kitchen cuttings. They love sweets.
Oh my goodness.
And so
goodness.
This is actually planted in my garden, in my raised bed.
So you dug a hole in the garden the size of a 5-gallon bucket.
Yep.
And dropped the five-gallon bucket down inside your garden. Yep.
And so the worms can go in and out if they want, but also their castings go out.
Oh,
and if it rains,
yeah.
it kind of seeps it out
right.
a little bit. It has a lid, so they're not going to drown.
Okay.
But it has a lid with no holes. And they just go back and forth.
That is the coolest.
Cool?
Yes, it's so cool.
I think it's very cool. And it's so funny because worms like sweet.
So they have a strawberry sweet tops.
Oh, and they love
bananas,
mango peels. I mean,
nice.
It's so funny when I'm giving them the sweets because I know, white rice, not that
oh,
I have rice, or brown rice too.
Yeah.
Or old bread that we didn't get around to and it's
yes.
gone bad.
Yes.
Happy.
They're
I mean,
so happy.
They're just like.
That is so cool.
Isn't that
yeah,
fun?
Yeah, that is super cool. I love it. It just occurred to me that the worms and you and the earth and the sun and the water really become this symbiotic machine to support each other.
Yeah,
right?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That
it's
is
like
very
there's a
cool.
there's a neat relationship between all of those components yeah. that are all really kind of interdependent.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And
it
I
is.
You know, for everybody. I mean, I'm an adult and I'm excited about my worms.
Yeah.
But think about what kids would do.
Right.
Like your grandbabies.
Right.
When they come over and
yes.
play in the garden or play with worms. I mean,
right.
how fun is that to go, these are the worms that are eating the lettuce that we didn't eat.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
I think they would
cool.
love it. And I think it gets kids who garden into eating vegetables.
I would agree with you. I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, last year was my first time ever trying something creative. Like out of nowhere, last summer, I thought, I've got these potatoes and they were starting to kind of bud up. And so I asked a couple people, what do I do with these potatoes? It was around the same time that Philip gave me the worms.
Oh.
And he said, well, you just, if there's nubs on them or there's little growth on them, he goes, just chop them up, cut them up, let them dry out for a couple of days after you cut them and then throw them in the ground. And I swear I was like, right.
Right. And that'll grow.
Right. Yeah. I was like, oh, sure. Like that's going to work. Well, I did it. And I didn't prepare the earth. I didn't like assure the soil. I didn't do anything. I was like, well, we'll dig a hole and throw these in.
Oh my goodness. That's
it was
wonderful.
Crazy. But the grandkids were here when we did it and we planted them and they came back again about 8-10 weeks later. It seems like it was a couple months later. They were back for their next end of summer visit. And lo and behold, we were all like, hey, well, let's go see if there's any potatoes. And we dug potatoes
Yay!
Out of the ground. And we
and
ate them.
Ate them. Yeah.
They did. I mean, kids love potatoes
they
anyway.
Do.
But in this case, they were extra excited.
Yeah.
They wanted to wash them. They wanted to look at them. They were inspecting them. It was really pretty neat.
Get them out there watering and looking at, like, is the lettuce ready to pick?
Yeah.
Or they'll eat vegetables that typically they're not going to eat.
That they might not be interested in, like the cauliflower and the broccoli.
Yeah.
Now, these kids are weird. They already like cauliflower and broccoli, so they're unusual, I think, for kids. They even like artichokes and tomatoes.
Oh,
they love all the veggies.
Oh, that is so cool.
I know. So I'm excited when they come over here soon. I'm going to get them out into the garden with me, have them help me pull up. There's a little bit of grass pieces coming through, and maybe we'll go dig around
and look for worms,
right. So I was going to ask you, if I took the kids over to the little compost section.
Oh, very cool. Yep.
Yeah. And if we dig up some stuff from there, could we take that over and feed the plants with it?
Sure.
Or is that necessary at this point?
No, you can. You have hay to protect it from losing a lot of the water and the nutrients and keeping it warm. So you just have to move the hay.
Just move that away
and
drop a little bit of the compost around the base of the plant.
How fun. If you want some worms, I'll send you some worms.
I want some. Yeah, I think that would be really
They'd
cool.
They'd love that.
Yeah,
just
they
looking
would
at the worms and.
I'm going to have to get beyond my weirdness about it because I'd like to actually. Do you hold the worms in your hand? Like,
not Typically, but I'm not afraid to.
You're not afraid to. I saw you wipe a spider off the wall. Like,
I wipe him off. I shoot him off. He was still alive.
You did. You sort of brushed him down. And you were like, you said bye-bye. And you brushed him down. I thought, man, that dude needed a shoot. But in reality, in my world, if the spider's outside,
it's his world.
If he's inside, different deal.
Oh gosh, I'm going to regress. But my son had this neurotic girlfriend. Since nobody knows who she is, and he's not with her anymore, I can say this. My gosh, she would come to visit us.
Yeah,
and Daddy Longlegs, they're your friend. They eat mosquitoes. They eat other bugs. Yes. Right. So I don't bother with Daddy Longlegs, and they don't bite me. So. I had an old house. They were in the house. Yes. I mean, you could look in the corner and go, oh, that's a daddy long leg. Like, she would freak. Jordan out. Would go, Mom, you got to clean out all the bugs.
You're like, no.
Oh, no, I did.
You did it.
I chase them down, shoo them outside.
I'm glad you shoot them outside. My dad does that. He says he's on the catch and release program.
Yes. I like that. I like that. No, I mean... And I was like, oh, come on, buck up. Just push them away. They're just daddy long legs. I mean, I guess if it's a black widow, you want to be a little more cautious. But daddy long legs, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Anyway. I you know, if it's a poisonous spider, he's not going to make it in my house. No. You know, I'm curious, when you plant in the garden, and we talked about you're going to get better nutrition out of it.
Right.
And you're going to get, you know, really, this is farm to fork. I mean, when you're personally farming it, it's not farm to table, it's farm to fork. Like, and you can literally go out into your garden and pick something, rinse it right there if you want to, or brush it off on your pants or whatever, you know, and just munch
it. Yeah. Exactly. I do that all the time, actually.
That has got to be the best nutrition available.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you feel like, I know, I'm a little, I'm not a hippie, but I'm a little... I just feel like you're eating sunshine.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'll go out and I'll grab an apple off my own tree.
Right. And the apple's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're so lucky that we can grow our own food. And I think that's the one thing that we're trying to tell people is you can do this.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be expensive. You can get old containers.
Yes.
You could go to Goodwill, get some containers, fill them up with dirt. You know, you can get a 6-pack at your nearby store of lettuce or of kale.
Right.
Just put them in there. I even tried one year getting a bag of dirt. And I've seen YouTubes about this.
Yeah.
Where you get a bag of organic garden soil.
Garden soil, yeah.
You cut holes in the bag.
Yeah.
And you can put your starts right in there.
Right.
I did it with seeds. Right in it. So, really, you don't even actually have to have a container, but
what a great idea.
I had lettuce and because, you know, it's not very deep. So it's not like you can put tomatoes or you don't really want short carrots.
Right.
But I did lettuce and I did radishes and green onions. It was like my salad bowl kind
of. That is such a neat idea. That
Isn't
never
that
occurred
a neat
to
idea?
Me. Yeah. Yesterday, my sister knew that I was planting a garden or that I had planted a garden several weeks ago. And she said, we're getting ready to do one too. She said, we've got 4 bus tubs, which I thought was brilliant. Bus trays. Restaurant bus trays.
She goes,
I got
absolutely.
4 restaurant bus trays. She goes, I drilled holes in them because I guess you want drainage,
you have
right?
To have drainage. You have to have drainage. Or the roots are going to rot.
Okay. So she goes, I got 4 bus trays. And she goes, we're going to have salad for days.
Yay!
Isn't that great?
I know. I think of it as a salad bowl or...
A salad bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a bowl, you know, like
yeah,
this big...
Yeah, salad bowl.
Salad
bowl.
Isn't that it?
Yes.
Where we live, we have gardens everywhere because we're chasing the sunshine.
Right.
But also to have a kitchen garden, which is one of my favorite things, is outside of your kitchen, put all your herbs. And maybe it's just containers, but parsley, cilantro, oregano, rosemary, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you're cooking,
basil,
just walk outside and
grab
and
what
pick.
You
Isn't
need.
That cool?
Yeah, that is really cool.
It's a nice way to do it. It really is. Because when you go back to look at location, it's got to be in a location that you're going to go to.
Right.
If it's like,
yeah, you
an
gotta hike
away.
You gotta hike up the hill a quarter mile to get to your garden.
You're less likely to go pick and take care of it and water it. And you have to know, is water available?
Right.
So you may have a sunny spot, but there's no hose bib. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah.
There's no hose bib for you to attach a hose and then water it easily.
Yeah.
So
there's
these are
all these factors
you gotta think about, but it's so worth it. And being close to nature is healing.
Yeah.
It's just healing.
When there's something about it.
Picking weeds or, oh, this needs to be eaten, pop it in, you know.
Right, yeah.
Brush it off, pop it in. Those are just wonderful things to do for yourself.
You know, I don't think when I got the garden starts this year, and I was able to get all these garden starts. They were tiny, itty bitty little 3-inch plants when I got them. Some of them are huge. The potatoes are absolutely taking off. They were all organic. I don't think I got any cherry tomatoes.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten some of those. I think I can probably find some local.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that's just stuff you go to the hardware store and get your plants.
Absolutely.
Right?
And you can even do from seeds. You just have to do them earlier if you have a short growing season. If you're in the South Bay or in the southern part of the country where they have longer seasons,
yes,
you can start later.
Okay.
But where we are, you know, we still haven't hit summer, although it's felt like it a few days. Our season is much shorter. So again, that's going back to your hardiness zones.
Right.
You know, how long of a growing season do you have?
And people can find this out just by going online, right? You just go like USDA. If you just type in gardening USDA zones.
Hardiness zones.
Hardiness zones. Yeah. That information shows up. And it tells you. And they sort of have these, like, I've seen the lines.
Right.
They're not, it's not like a straight line across the country or across a county. But you can pretty much put in, if you type in your city and get your latitude and longitude, you could literally put that in and it will tell you you're in, I think we're in zone 9 here.
Yeah, I think 9 or 9.5.
9 or 9.5, right.
I might be 9.5.
Yeah, and I might be 9.
Yeah.
It's not weird, but we live in the same town.
Ah, microclimates.
Microclimates. And that's part of what we have to think about.
Well, you do, and evaluate your yard. How hot is it? How much sun gets there?
You're right.
Pretty protected.
Yes.
You know, you have your house, and back in this one area, the house protects, so it's a little hotter than maybe right in the front.
Right.
So just kind of scoping it out, looking at it, and making a decision from there. But the hardiness zone is also going to give you a really good clue of what grows well where.
Right.
When to plant it. So maybe spinach and broccoli and cauliflower will do better in September.
Right. You know what? Will you talk about succession planting? Will you talk about what does that mean where, like, let me back up for a second. If you read the seed package, you were talking about reading the seed package. The seed package will tell you 65 days. So you put it in the ground and within 65 days, you might be eating something off of it, harvesting. So if I understood correctly, there's like a rotation or a succession or something. So you might plant X crop, and then 2 weeks later, plant some more, and then 2 weeks later. Right.
Right.
So that you have a continuous crop.
Hello, because who wants to eat 8 heads of lettuce
in two days?
It does. And that's why it's nice if you do it from seeds, and seeds are so much cheaper. And you can do seeds even in the house. So a lot of people have already started seeds in February for planting, and then start another set of seeds for March so that you have a month apart so you can extend the growing time.
Right.
And then also some foods like to be with other foods, like tomatoes and carrots do really well.
Oh, near each other in the garden? Oh, I didn't realize
that. So there are certain things, well, because some plants use more nitrogen than others, or like some beans release nitrogen. They're your composting crop sometimes.
Interesting.
And like clove is a good winter crop. Because when you plant clove, the roots have nitrogen in them.
Okay.
And then when you're ready to put your summer garden in, you just rototill them in or dig them in or pitchfork them in.
Can't wait to
Then it releases the nitrogens for the next crop.
Love it.
So it's exciting. There's all kinds of information on the internet that you can find.
And then there's all kinds of information when you just walk in to the hardware store
and they love helping you.
They love helping you.
Oh my gosh.
The thing that's important, I think, is to, just my first garden. It's the first time I've ever done it. But what I think something that you told me and something I've heard a couple of times is plant what you like to eat. Right. So.
Yeah. Don't plant foods you hate.
Right.
I mean, come on.
I know. Like, I love beets. Love them. And Gary doesn't like them. And so if I plant beets, I'm only going to be the one that gets to enjoy them, where he's going to have to be part of, I should have planted them for you. Doing the freaking raccoons took the beets.
Oh, they did.
Isn't that right?
Foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darn it. You mean the beet seeds at my house?
Yeah, the beet seeds at your house.
I think they were raccoons. It could have been a cougar that was trying to decide to use it as a sandbox, but my husband told me that's not a good theory.
Yeah,
I don't think cougars do sandboxes.
I don't know. There's an area in my yard out here that would be a great garden, but I really think a swimming pool would be better out there.
Not here. No.
Not here.
Not here.
Maybe not in these times.
Not in these times.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other thing we're going to talk about before we have to go, right? Because we talked about location,
yes.
Sun,
yes.
Hardiness,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Whether we want to do seeds or starters,
right.
And that's really up to you.
And whether it's something you like or not.
Yep. And a lot of people, though, seeds you have to baby. You have to watch them.
Yeah.
They can dry out fast. Because typically,
yes.
If you're doing seedlings in your house, you know, they're in those small trays.
Right.
If you're doing them outside, you just got to keep an eye on them. So the other thing is, what's your soil like? Right? I already complained about the soil that we have that's clay.
Kind of clay, yeah.
Not kind of.
It's
I mean,
super
I could
clay.
Throw it on the ground and that stuff would just like not
just
break apart at all.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
It's like.
It's clay.
It's clay.
But you
it's
can change clay. The nature of the soil by adding stuff to it, right?
Clay is the hardest to do.
Okay.
So
wow.
Sometimes if you have that much clay in your garden, you may want to just do what I did, which is I have some clay in it still. But I also added more dirt and then I added my compost. So
okay.
It's probably 10 to 15% clay,
right.
Which still isn't great.
Right. That's called amending soil, right?
Yeah.
That's called soil amendment.
Yep.
Just means you're adding stuff
yep.
to it.
You're trying yeah. to fix it. Trying to
fixing
fix it.
Fixing that their soil.
Yeah. And so how you know the different soil. And when you go to the hardware store, you can talk to them. You can say, my soil is clay or my soil is sandy. And there's certain things about it, like sandy soil, the water's going to go through it faster.
Mm.
And how you know if it's sandy, if you pick it up, kind of play with it, put it in your hand,
squish
and it just
it,
falls apart.
It falls apart.
Right.
Right.
Whereas clay, again,
it's like Play-Doh.
Worse. It's like Play-Doh that your kid forgot to put the lid on.
Oh, man. Wow.
I mean, it's not that hard, but it's
firm.
Pretty dang hard.
Yeah.
It, you know.
Right.
And then if you have soil that you can shape it, but it falls apart. You can kind of poke at it. That's called loamy. And that's probably the best soil.
The best soil.
Because it holds water without, like clay soil, if you water it, it just holds the water.
Yeah.
You worry about the roots getting the water or the roots rotting.
Oh.
Versus loamy, you know, the water's circulating
mm-hmm.
sand. It just runs through.
When I went to the hardware store, the lady at the hardware store started asking me about my soil. And I was like, I don't know. She goes, well, do you
play with it.
Yeah. She was like asking me questions like, is it this? Is it that? I'm like, I don't really know. I said,
yeah.
It's really pretty. I said, it's dark brown. It looks like coffee. I think it's pretty good soil.
You probably have that great loamy soil.
I think I do. And then she said, well, do you need some mycorrhizae? And I was like, what? I mean, seriously, she just
oh,
acted like I knew.
That is wonderful stuff. Though.
Well, I bought it. I just said to her, I go,
so
you tell me.
Soil. Yeah.
And I asked her, what is it?
Yeah. And what'd she say?
She said, it's like a gut for your plants. And I was like, what? She goes, well, it kind of makes a belly for your plants. Essentially, she kind of like patted her own belly and she goes, you have a belly
yeah.
where your nutrients get digested. She goes, if you get this... And am I saying it right? Mycorrhizae?
Yeah,
is that
you
right?
You did wonderful.
So she goes, if you get this, it's a, you put it in water and then you mix the water in with this stuff. It turns black. The water turns black. She goes, and you spray it right onto the plant. She said, not onto the plant, onto the roots. She said,
right.
The mycorrhizae has to come in contact with the roots. And then as I understood it, tell me if this is what I'm understanding. It makes like a kind of a gel maybe, or some kind of a protectant thing underneath, around
well,
the roots.
It's kind of like your gut biome.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that.
Yes.
The good things in your gut that keeps everything healthy.
Yeah.
And that's what it's doing for our plants. And you can spray it, but you can also get it in a dry form and mix it in your soil.
And mix it in. When something you said a few minutes ago that I thought was so interesting, you said, and if your soil is kind of loamy, then the water can be circulating. And it occurred
right.
to me that this whole thing of growing plants is kind of like a body.
Life.
It's like life. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like blood flowing through
right.
our bodies and the
it
nutrients
is.
Moving
well,
around in the liquid.
And the plants are like bodies. You know, it has
yeah.
the fibrous stalk. The
which
thing
is
that
like
holds
a skeleton, kind
like
of.
Like a skeleton. And then it's got
veins,
veins
essentially.
That bring up the nutrients up and down, you know, suck up the nutrients from the ground, suck up the water, the H2O, and sends it up to your leaves and to your blossoms.
And I mean, the plant that stands there and and takes in the nutrients from the sun, turns that into chlorophyll or whatever that thing that happens, and then feeds that back down into the earth. And then we get to eat it.
And then we get it. And all those chemicals that they have to protect themselves.
The phytochemicals.
We get the benefit of. And that's why you eat a whole food plant-based
diet. Right.
It's a full circle.
Right.
And that's why you and I talked about it. And we wanted to do this about gardening is because it really is a nice marriage between changing your diet to where you're eating more fruits and vegetables and then growing your own. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to do for yourself, for your psyche, for your body, for your family.
Right.
To prevent illness, to boost your immune system. Mm-hmm.
Well, and here today, literally, I mean, as we are in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic and the lockdown and all of that stuff, we're still there. So I don't know if you're listening to this 3 years from now. It is 2020 right now. It is April.
Yeah.
And we are at the height, the very beginning height. Who knows how long this thing lasts? I don't know, but
crossing my fingers, it's over
soon. Oh, yeah, me too. And what I'm realizing is, the headlines today, one of the headlines I saw today said that the folks that are most likely to suffer debilitating disease and likely death from a severe infection with the coronavirus are those with three major symptoms. They were obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes.
Right.
All three of those diseases are chronic and they're lifestyle related.
Absolutely. And you can reverse them.
They're reversible.
Every one of
That's
them is
right.
reversible. So by eating a whole food plant-based diet, you're going to lose weight, you're going to heal your body, you're going to reduce your blood pressure and your need for insulin.
You're going to feel
great. You know, you're either going to prevent it, you're going to reverse it, or you're going to make it better. Not everybody who goes on a whole food plant-based diet reverses diabetes completely. Most do.
Not everybody, but most do.
Most do. And it's healing your body, giving your body what it needs, because all of our bodies want to heal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our
immune
system
to do that.
Is about. Yeah.
Right.
So if we give it what it needs, we can start healing ourselves, building up our immune system so that it's not always triggering and working to prevent the inflammation from what we're putting in our mouth.
Mm.
Now it can fight the diseases that are coming to it, mm-hmm. not just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love that we can reverse, reduce, and prevent disease and chronic disease, particularly just by what we put in our mouth.
Absolutely. And people need to hear that. I don't think in our society that we give ourselves enough credit to be able to heal ourselves. We've given our health over to health providers. Fixed me.
Well, and everybody
make it better.
Right. They go into the doctor and they just shake their head yes when the doctor says you have diabetes and they're shaking their head yes. And
my mother had it.
Yeah.
Of course I have it.
Of course I have it. Right. So they're ceding all sense of personal control or personal responsibility over to a medical profession. And doctors are not the enemy. And I always appreciate when you remind me that because I kind of get going on ranting, as you know.
No, they're doing best they can.
They're doing the best they can. But we do know that individual health, each of us personally, individually, are doing what we can and should do, what we should be doing for individual health, because ultimately individual health equals public health. And right now,
Absolutely.
Public health is really suffering.
Well, and you know, this is a wake-up call.
It really is.
I mean, we haven't woken up about cardiovascular disease, and yet that's a huge killer in the world and in our country.
700,000 men and women a year just in the United States alone are going to die from cardiovascular disease.
Excuse me, and that's not a pandemic?
Right.
You know, and diabetes and then obesity, overweight or obese? There's probably 60 to 70% of us in this country that are overweight. That's a disease.
It's a disease. And it's a lifestyle disease. So it's a disease that has choices affiliated with it.
And so this is our scare that is telling us we've got to take control of our own health.
We do. It starts right here in our mouth.
Absolutely.
It really does.
And our brain. You know, really think about, am I eating just to please my mouth?
Right.
Or am I eating to heal my body?
Right.
Which do you want? If you just want to please your mouth, have fun. Go to any of the fast food restaurants. Because that is not healing your body. That is causing more inflammation, more problems with your blood pressure, high salt, high sugar. All of those things affect our blood vessels, which lead us down the road to cardiovascular disease, right. diabetes, obesity.
Right. Dementia, cancer.
Immune diseases.
Right. Metabolic syndrome. All of them.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. This is the part that's frustrating is, all of us have the right to have whatever we want. But what about our responsibility to each other, to our society?
And our families.
And to our families. Yeah. That's right. I mean, yes, this is a wake-up call. Yes, we're looking at the coronavirus. Yes, we're saying, hey, the people that are most likely to be affected by this are the ones that have those three conditions, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity.
Absolutely.
All three of those conditions could have been prevented. And so what I would say to you, and what I'm saying to my own self is, today, when I went through the grocery store, I was blown away, not only by all the people wearing masks, and I appreciated that.
Absolutely.
I did.
Absolutely.
And I saw people using tissues to open up the freezer door
and
handles
distances.
And that kind of thing, and distancing.
Yeah.
I saw
Very
all that.
Good.
I also saw the very first display on my way into the grocery store was this huge, like it was probably 10 feet long and 12 feet deep, and it was candy. Chocolates, this, that, and
Chips.
It was 10 for a dollar, 88 cents, some of them. Yes. And then so that was the first thing I saw. And I was like thinking to myself, this is irresponsible marketing. It is. And then as I walked along by the cash registers, the last end of every aisle, that's called an end cap. Every end cap was soda, chips, or candy, or donuts.
That's where they make their money, though.
I know. They make these huge profits there. But they make their huge profits on the candy chips, soda, donuts, cookies.
They do.
That are on the end caps. And then guess what happens? You buy all those things, impulse buying on the end caps. You go through the cash register. And what's right on the other side of the cash register? The pharmacy. So they're going to make money on you getting sick. They're going to take that money on your way to the pharmacy where they're going to make more money on you getting your metformin for your diabetes, your high blood pressure medication, your high cholesterol medication. So they're going to help you get sick by marketing crummy food to you, getting you addicted to it.
And this is evidence-based information.
Yeah, this isn't
There's
my opinion.
There's evidence research that's showing us you can take control of your health by what you eat.
Yes.
And by exercising and sleeping.
Thank you
I
for
mean,
calming
all those
me down.
Things.
Thank you for calming me down.
You know, I agree with you. I do agree with you. And
yes.
I just don't know how to get people to actually hear our message.
I think it's by saying you have some choices.
You do.
They have to look at our listeners, our viewers. The people that are interested in their health have to first look at their why, don't they? Why do I care? And maybe they don't care about public health. It might not be about public health for them. But what about your kids?
Right. And what example are you doing?
Right.
Or do you want to go to your daughter's wedding? Do you want to meet your grandchild?
Right.
I mean, we all have people in our immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not, yeah. That have died from cardiovascular disease.
Right. We all have people either in our families or in our lives or in our
Absolutely.
Friends and family. We all know someone who has had heart disease or cancer or high blood pressure or high cholesterol.
And think about it. Did they smoke? Did they overdrink? Did they eat crap food?
Right.
What was their BMI? Did they have other contributing factors?
Right.
And you can't tell me that there's this perfectly, the average person who dies from a heart attack is not this person who just ran 5 miles or eats vegetables at every meal and fruit.
Right.
We're talking about people who make the choice for fast food, fat food, salt food, processed food, preservative food, foods that really don't heal your body but cause complications with your cardiovascular system.
So.
And your heart and your brain, those vessels are working to both of those.
Right.
So dementia, all those things are impact and worsen by what we eat.
That's
cancer is impact and worsened.
Or it's impact and improved when we change what we're putting into our bodies. I mean, and I both know from our, as a medical professional, and I know as in my experience and my training from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, that there are three phases of cancer, right? There is the initiation, the promotion, and the progression phase.
Right.
Well, this is what's fascinating about that everyone always has cancer initiation going on in their bodies all
they
the time.
And your body is in there fixing it,
it's
preventing it from happening.
Right. Unless you're putting the wrong fuels in your body that actually fuel that next phase, which is the promotion phase.
Right.
So if you're putting the kinds of fuels in your body that promote cancer, that would be sugar. That would be saturated fats. That would be the
high
stuff that causes inflammation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then you can expect that cancer to move from initiation to promotion to progression.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's funny though, when you and I talk, one of us will go on the rant and the other one will bring us down, and one will go on a negative rant and the other will bring us back to a positive note. It's a good combo.
It is. It's a good mix. Well, and I so appreciate your perspective because you've been on the front lines. You've dealt with people dealing with illness. You've helped them through those processes.
Well, and people don't realize how scary it is to have to sit there and listen that you've got diabetes, that you have heart disease, and that your vessels are only functioning 50% or 20% or 30%, and you have a diagnosis of diabetes cancer. You know, it's just mind-altering. And when you talk about your why, I would like you to say, my why is, I want to be healthy, I want to be the best I am.
That's
not
right.
That the doctors are talking about chemo
or
open heart surgery.
Right.
This is the time to figure out your why so that you're picking a choice of why you want to eat healthy and be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not because...
Not defensive mode.
Right.
How about
it's
going
already
offense?
Late. You know, it's like, let's realize and really process the information that you have control over a lot of your health issues. But you have to process that. And you have to say, your why is right now.
Yes.
Acknowledge that it is right now.
Right.
I can prevent or promote disease now.
Yes, I can prevent or promote disease right now.
Now.
Right.
Instead of running behind and going, oh, geez, now I have to change everything because I've got this diagnosis. Or it's too late. I already have the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Why should I change?
Right.
Which I've heard people say too.
Right.
And you're like, because if you don't change, it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. You're going to die.
Right.
And then I've heard people say, I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well just enjoy life while I'm dying. Okay.
Okay.
That's your choice too,
I
guess.
That is your choice. The only problem is are you enjoying it? Are you sitting down in front of the couch or are you playing in your garden?
Mm-hmm.
Because
well,
you can't
I know
move.
I'm going to play in my garden.
Me too.
I am so thankful for this conversation. It's just
it's been fun.
It's fascinating. I love the idea that we can all take control of what goes in our mouth and we can start by putting something in the ground.
Yes.
That we can pull out of the ground
Absolutely.
And put into our bodies and give us some grounding of our own, whether it's psychological grounding through our physical nurturing grounding, the nutrition that we put into our bodies. So thank
Wonderful.
You, Sherry.
Yeah,
appreciate
Always
it.
Always love it.
To all of our listeners and to our visitors and our viewers, thank you so much for joining us on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We're your hosts, Misty Young and Sherry Carey Baum. We're broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway. Beautiful, beautiful gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. This is the place where the old growth redwoods meet the sea. The Pacific Ocean is so beautiful. Harbor in Brookings is home to you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you again for being here with us, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.